Welcome to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. You can hear the program each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and WFIL.com.
AM 560 WFIL.com and on the app, you're listening to the Tim DeMoss Show. Thanks for tuning in. Kind of cloudy, a little sun this afternoon, not bad. 59 the high, some clouds tonight, low 37. Sunny tomorrow, high 65. Philly shut out the Reds this afternoon, 5-0. Zach Wheeler, 6 strong innings. He had just one hit, struck out 8. Bryce Harper, a home run. Phillies are at San Diego tomorrow night at 9:40. And the Sixers home tonight at 7:30 against the Knicks. The Sixers trail their playoff series 2-0. A quick early break, then we bring on Dr. Larry Anderson Jr., pastor at Great Commission Church in West Oak Lane, and Dr. Anthony Tony Hurst with Gospel of Grace Ministries to talk about the book, The Pastor's Diaries, an intimate look behind the pulpit. That's coming up next on the Tim DeMoss Show, AM 560, WFIL.com, and the WFIL app.
Have a guest you'd like to hear on the Tim DeMoss Show on AM 560 WFIL? Email timmyd@wfil.com.
AM 560 WFIL, it's the Tim DeMoss Show, and we are very glad to have in studio not one, but two of the finest pastors in the entire area.
Oh, my. Lord help.
Dr. Larry L. Anderson Jr. and Dr. Anthony, a.k.a. Tony W. Hurst Sr. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent, excellent.
I'm Timothy P. DeMoss, by the way. Got okay. That middle initial.
Got the middle initials in?
Yeah.
Good.
P for Paul.
Okay.
That's a good biblical name.
Absolutely. W for Wayne.
Wayne. And what's the L for?
Lewis.
All right. That's good. That's like a smooth name. Larry Lewis.
Yeah. That's me, L-O.
Folks will know. I'm going to call you Tony, right?
That's fine.
All right. Tony, because of the Gospel of Grace program, which airs on WFIL Sunday nights at 6 and also Saturday nights at 8. Been on for quite some time, and folks can find out more on our program guide at WFIL.com. And Dr. Anderson, I know you because I have had your book on my desk for like a year and a half.
Okay.
Trying to get this together.
Mm-hmm.
And time to read and really go through it. This is a very, so I'm glad it finally worked out for you to come today.
Yeah, it was good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. The Pastor's Diaries is the book we want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
An intimate look behind the pulpit. Before we get into that, if you could each just share a minute, a bit more about, you know, who you are and some of the, you both have been involved in a lot of things. So you can, whatever direction you want to take it.
Okay. You want to go first, sir?
Well, I was raised in the Church of God, and I met Dr. Anderson in 2003 when both of us went to biblical seminary. And we got our master's and our doctoral degrees together. As a matter of fact, as we worked on our doctoral degrees, we actually left our houses and met at the library, and we put in 8 hours a day until we got it done.
Wow. Treated it like a work day.
We did.
Absolutely.
We did.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
We did, and we helped each other along.
Okay. And for you?
I'm husband of one, father of three, pastor.
Keep that in the right order.
Yeah, absolutely. I pastor Great Commission Church, which is in West Oak Lane, Philadelphia. I'm celebrating 20 years this year. I'm the director of church health and evangelism for the Southern Baptist Convention in Pennsylvania, South Jersey, which we call the Baptist Resource Network. And I just love writing and reading, and that's why I'm here today.
And I better mention, I should have mentioned, but I forgot, I am the husband of one.
Yes.
We are approaching 44 years on July the 5th. We have two children, a daughter-in-law and a son-in-law, and five wonderful, stupendous, marvelous, good-looking, smart, intelligent grandchildren.
As my dad would say, it's only a one-hour show.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Now, in my case, it's literally a one-hour show, but he would do that wherever we would go. If something started going on, it's like, Tim, it's a one-hour show. I'm explaining something, whatever. No, that's wonderful, and I'm sure we'll hear a bit more about some of these things as we progress. This book, The Pastor's Diaries, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit, take some time and just set up the genesis for this and how you framed this book.
Well, it really was birthed out of the pandemic. And as the director of church health, I'm consistently talking to pastors and asking them, how are they doing? And when you're affirmation is intended and normally comes from how many people show up and say, hey, amen. And then you have nobody in the building, you know, so all of a sudden you're preaching to a camera as opposed to a crowd.
Yeah.
And so you don't have that same affirmation that you once had. And so then you have a bit of loneliness as you're trying to preach to the camera. But 2020, 2021, when pastors started coming back into the building, it looked like they were the only ones excited about that. Those who they was expecting to come in droves back didn't come back. And all of a sudden, did I make disciples or did I make members? Were people here to be entertained? Did I put enough in them? Why aren't they returning? And so you had a lot of pastors really searching for their validation, searching for credibility, searching for affirmation, but finding loneliness, finding empty chairs. And then you had discouragement that was turning into depression. You had a lot of members who lost their lives over this time due to health issues and challenges that came from the pandemic. And I've seen a lot of discouragement in our pastors. And I began to capture those stories. I began to find out what was really bothering them, what were some of the real struggles. And you begin to see the humanity of pastors and the need to not spiritualize away our problems, not spiritualize away our doubts and our disappointments. Let's deal with them. And so when I started looking to deal with them, I started looking for stories. Pastors begin to share. Unlike before, there was a safe place in sharing with me as a pastor and as a pastor of pastors. But then it became the genesis for this book, The Pastor's Diaries, which I felt not only other pastors needed to hear to be encouraged, but I thought the body needed to see a different side of us to recognize that we are human as well.
That's right.
That we hurt as well, that we struggle with letting go of some pain. Even some grudges, and that we need the same amount of care, compassion, and grace that we give out to everybody.
That is absolutely right.
That's really
absolutely
interesting. Right. Folks, tuning in, we're chatting with Dr. Larry Anderson Jr. He is pastor of Great Commission Church, West Oak Lane area. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, almost 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Anthony Tony W. Hurst Sr., who you can catch Sunday nights at 6 and also Saturday evenings at 8 with the Gospel of Grace program. It's part of WFIL's lineup. How was this book then set up? I guess it sounds fairly organic. People that trusted you enough to get the vision for this book
and
where it was headed. Did you kind of know where you were hoping this would go before you got submissions sent to you?
Well, I did because I've been doing it for 20 years myself. And so I know what I have dealt with during my journey of 20 years of where I got to.
Yeah.
I had the benefit of having mentors in my life where others don't have that. I had the benefit of not seeing other pastors as competitors, but co-laborers. And so I knew what I dealt with and what I felt, but it was also just engaging individuals and seeing it was a common thread of pain that folks were feeling, that pastors was feeling. There was a common thread of pressure that they felt to perform and they were being put on, you know, pedestals that they never wanted to be on. And That's they didn't right. put themselves on and they didn't know how to navigate that pedestal. There's an expectation of me. If I show my humanity, do that remove me from being, you know, capable to do what I've been called to do? And so it's like, which one came first, chicken or the egg? Did I put myself on a pedestal? Did they put me on a pedestal? And how do I navigate this place? So I've seen so many common threads of our pastors dealing with the same issues and dealing with them in very unhealthy ways. It's because it was, you know, which I didn't mention, it was the suicide of pastors that really, you know, made me say, wow, how can a pastor commit suicide, the one who's supposed to be so close to God, yet find themselves in such a desert place?
Wow.
You know, how do you find yourself there? But it's because you think you're the only one that's going through this. So for me, it was, what are the common themes for our pastors and what are we dealing with? And how do we highlight those and expose those so that we can be delivered through those?
That's good. And so those themes now, and I guess this became a thing, they all begin with the letter P, which is good, of which pedestal is one further in. The first one that you have on the list, I lost my place,
was pressure.
Yes, no pressure. Was pressure followed by pain, also power, pride, pedestal, as you mentioned, perseverance, passion beyond the pulpit. But then the way it's set up, I guess you write the intro and the first entry in a given chapter. Then other contributors then gave their perspective. It's mostly Philadelphia, greater Philadelphia region, but also a little further out.
Yeah, it was those who I felt could trust me enough to handle their story and their testimony.
Yeah.
And so when it was coming in, if it came in generic, to be honest, I sent it back. That's not going to make the cut. I don't want the generic. I don't want your super spiritual position on life. How have you dealt with pain?
Yeah.
How have you experienced pain? And how has the Lord delivered you? And if he has delivered you through that pain. And to hear what it is to go through it so that you can, those who are hearing can do a better job of praying. And those who are going through it can know that I'm not alone in going through it. So it really, if it didn't come to a certain level of transparency, it didn't make the book.
That's interesting.
So I went back and sent that back and said, no, that's not going to make it. So if you really want to be a part of this, you got to change that and come correct.
How did you know when you were done, so to speak?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. When I cut it off and I said, this is just too much.
Well, at some point, you know.
I just completed the Pastor's Wives Diaries. And I had so many entries for the Pastor's Diaries and so many others who said, hey, I want to be in that, that I, in my mind, I was saying there was going to be a volume two because there are so many who wanted to contribute and had stories after volume one.
Interesting.
Was completed because I really had to cut it off at a certain point.
Right.
But in the midst of me planning for volume two, my wife said, what about the Pastor's Wives? You know,
okay.
And I'm like, well, what about them? Like, we're the ones who have all these things going on. And that's when she challenged me, like, hey, let me tell you about our journey.
That's right.
And so the Pastor's Wives Diary was birthed, and that's coming out like Mother's Day.
Oh, wow.
This year. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Folks tuning in, we're chatting with Dr. Larry Anderson Jr. He is pastor of Great Commission Church in West Oak Lane, and Dr. Tony Hurst, who you can catch on Gospel of Grace on WFIL a couple times each weekend, Sunday nights at 6 and Saturday evenings at 8. In that first chapter of Pressure, Paul James wrote, I'm describing what might be the cardinal sin of a good pastor. We tirelessly preach the good news of the finished work of a Savior, only to never finish our own self-imposed workload by trying to do his job, which is already complete.
Wow.
That really said something.
Absolutely. I think there's a strive for perfectionists. There's a strive that, you know, we can never do enough for Christ. But we also forget that it's his bride and not ours.
That's right.
And we end up wearing ourselves out trying to be God. We end up getting a Messiah complex. We end up doing so much of human doing that we miss being human beings. And we try to serve God in so many different ways as opposed to absorbing God. And so we end up doing more than being. And I think, you know, Pastor Paul was hitting on that, on those issues of us not being able to just sit and be children of God first before we do everything that we serve, because we only see our affirmation in what we're doing, and we miss the whole part of the being part.
You know, my family sometimes, a couple of my family members, myself included, tend to think a lot, overthink, or just very passionate about the faith, and sometimes simplicity is needed. And so, sometimes to each other, we'll quote John 6:29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has
That's
sent.
Right.
And so sometimes when we have a busy day ahead and lots of things to do, we'll just text each other and say, I'm believing in the one he has sent. I'm doing the work today.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take some pressure off.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
You
That's
know?
Right.
Dr. Larry Anderson Jr., author of the book, The Pastor's Diaries, along with Dr. Tony Hurst, host of the program Gospel of Grace on WFIL a couple times each weekend. On the Tim DeMoss Show today, more to come in just a moment. You're listening to AM 560, WFIL.com, and on the WFIL app.
It's the Tim DeMoss Show podcast, available at WFIL.com. Thanks for listening.
AM 560 WFIL, you're listening to the Tim DeMoss Show. Thanks for tuning in. Dr. Larry Anderson Jr., pastor of Great Commission Church in West Oak Lane, and author of the book, The Pastor's Diaries, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit, our guest today, as well as Dr. Tony Hurst, host of the program Gospel of Grace which you can catch a couple times over the weekend on WFIL. The Pastor's Diaries is set up with a number of chapters, each written by Dr. Anderson as far as an intro goes, and the first chapter, and then subsequent chapters by various pastors from around the region who have submitted their thoughts on what it's like to be a pastor, their challenges, how they've worked through them with the Lord, or even still do, from a scriptural standpoint. And overall, a very open and honest look at these things, at times with humor. There was one that made me laugh, Daryl Dade, in his No Matter What entry on page 20. He said, Pastor Medley is my pastor, even though he was deceased. Like, people complaining about him being the pastor. Pastor Medley is my pastor. He died. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. And then he said on page 21, that's the real pressure to love people who don't love you or even seem to like or respect you. Pressure to preach when half the people don't seem to be listening. Pressure to prepare a lesson to teach, knowing half the class will not show up for Bible study. Pressure to encourage, in spite of the discouragement, the offerings less than the bills.
Yeah.
And a bunch of others. And we're talking about the Pastor's Diaries here, an intimate look behind the pulpit. Dr. Anderson and Dr. Hurst, our guest, is part of this here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a level of discouragement, because everything you're doing as unto the Lord.
That's right.
And you want to see results. You want to be liked. You want to be loved. But most of all, you want to be followed. You want to be heard. You want to be, you know, that conduit to obedience to the Lord's word. And when you don't get that, I followed a pastor who was great. And I made the church shrink. You know, they didn't want me. They wanted the pastor who came before me. They're like, I wasn't here for you. When I got here, Hopkins was the pastor, not Anderson. You know, and I tried to imitate Hopkins because I thought that's what they wanted. And then Hopkins came to me and told me, you'll never be as good as Hopkins trying to be Hopkins, but you could be great as Anderson.
That's right.
And he liberated me and helping me see, I'm not trying to be a second best you. Let me just be the one that God called me to be.
That's right.
But there was pressure to give them what they wanted as opposed to who God had called and prepared.
Yeah. This book, by the way, we should make, the Pastor's Diaries should be, it's for each other, pastors, but it's also very helpful for anyone who is coming to church and hearing, or hopefully comes back to church, to understand.
Absolutely.
The role they can have.
That's right.
Even just everybody wants to be appreciated and understood. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, even not even just rah-rah appreciation, just here's what it's like to be doing the job that I do, especially before the Lord. The pain chapter, which follows, a couple of things here. Page 27, which I think you wrote, Larry, it's a top 10 causes in no particular order of pain, as far as what pastors go through, poor attendance, criticism, lack of appreciation, lack of support, lack of success, betrayal, missed moments, defined, I think, later as like you're spending time serving other families and missing your own family,
absolutely,
like Little League games or whatever.
Yep.
Finances and spiritual warfare. And on page 31, I think near the very end of your part of that chapter, if you are a church member, please know there's no greater gift you can give to your pastor than a dedicated life of prayer on their behalf. Kind of, to me, was a great way to end, because it enveloped all of the other possible pains a pastor could feel.
Mm-hmm.
If to pray covers it all.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's right.
And I think so many times, you know, I've asked people, hey, can you pray for me? And they'd be like, what's wrong? Like, no, just you know, like, there's this idea that we don't need prayer, when they don't realize that we're the number one on a hit list.
That's right.
You know, and I'm like, I need prayer, not because something's wrong. I just need prayer. I need you to be praying for me, because they just see us as the ones that pray for them. They don't see their role as praying for us. And like, yo, we need prayer. We are a target. There's a bullseye on us that's trying to take us out of ministry.
That's exactly
and
right.
We need you to pray for us. But many times, and again, that's why, you know, yeah, the book is for pastors to be affirmed and to know you're not the only one. But it's really, I mean, I've got more responses from the body who communicate. You go on Amazon or you go anywhere where this book is, you see the responses of those who bought the book. And they were like, man, I had no idea. Like, I never thought to ask you how you were doing. Because I can text people, how you doing? I'm praying for you. How can I pray for you? All of this. And they never do it for you. And you're pouring everything you got into everybody. And everybody is looking for you to pour even more. And they don't realize that I'm empty over here. And I'm in desperate need of your prayer and your support.
Yeah. In that chapter, in that the pain chapter, Tony Hurst, who's also in studio with us, wrote the pain of rejection entry.
I did.
And maybe you could share a bit about that.
Well, I was born to a very young mother, a teenage mother, and my grandmother wanted to give me up for adoption. And at the very last minute, the Lord changed her mind and brought me home. So it's like I came into the world feeling rejected. I remember sports time in high school. I've never been a sportsman, never been a sportsman at all. I can't dribble a basketball today, still can't throw a football today at 70 years old, still can't do it. But some of my painful times were in high school when it was time for gym. I wanted to run away and hide because I was always the last one chosen for whatever team it was because they knew that I was not athletic. So even now, as I look back, I graduated in 1971. I look back at those years from junior high into high school where I dealt with that practically every day. So it wasn't easy to do at all, but God brought me through all of that. I remember as I wrote that portion of my entry, I let one of my brothers read it, grew up in the same house. And when he read it, he just looked up at me and said, I never knew you felt that way. Because I never really shared it with anybody. I just bore it in silence, you know. But with this book, I was able to express it. That was the very first thing I saw. Because Larry had a list of different things we could write about. And when I saw the pain of rejection, that connected with me. Because even going through a seminary, like I said, both of us got our master's and doctoral degrees together. But the other ministers in my church seemed to put a distance now between me and them. Because now that I was learning more about the scriptures, there was a rejection that I began to feel. And even sometimes a snide remark of, let's see what Dr. Hurst has to say about this. And I had to I had to bear those things. I bore them in silence, but I had to take that. You know, because now I was seeing things as they were, and I remember when I first wanted to go on the radio about 30 years ago, and things didn't work out from the church standpoint, that Mary Campbell said something to me. She said, there's a lot of jealousy in the ministry. I said, what? It wasn't something that I thought was there. And until she told me, it took me a while after that to realize that lady was right. It's a shame that it's there, but she was absolutely right. And I felt that.
You're just tuning in. We're chatting with Dr. Tony Hurst. You can catch him on Gospel of Grace Sunday nights at 6 and also Saturday evenings at 8. And Dr. Larry Anderson, who is pastor of Great Commission Church in West Oak Lane. And Dr. Anderson's written this book, The Pastor's Diaries, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit. And it's framed a number of main chapters, all beginning with the letter P, beginning with pressure. Also includes pain, power, pride, pedestal, perseverance, passion beyond the pulpit. But it's not designed to be cute. I guess they eventually kind of realize those are just that's just how it is. And you have a lot of contributors. But Dr. Anderson leads off each chapter with an introduction to the concept, to the topic, and then writes the first of four entries, right? And so in the second one, pain, we're talking Dr. Hurst, Tony Hurst here, you included Philippians 3, which I think is real important, 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
That's right.
And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. I think you were summing up at the end of that chapter, that entry you wrote, that despite all of the different hurts that you had felt along the way and or rejection, our Savior, I'm that's one aspect of being like him that I can identify
with. It took me a while to make that connection because so often I would sit and wonder, why are these things happening and I'm not doing anything to make them happen? But then when it came to me one day, the Lord spoke and said, didn't you say you wanted to be like me? And I looked at that passage and I realized that being like my Savior was going to involve some of the same suffering that he went through. And that made it so much easier to bear. It still hurt, but I knew that I was on the right track in becoming more like my Savior through the things that he allowed me to go through.
Yeah. You know, one of the things also to, I think, coming to mind to clarify, this book, The Pastor's Diaries, is not a woe is me book at all.
No.
It's not, here's all my problems.
No, it's not.
Boo-hoo. It's not like that at all. But rather, it's like a potpourri, and as the subtitle says, an intimate look behind the pulpit, a potpourri of a variety of pastors, the different struggles they have. Some are, you know, more told in one story by one pastor. Some themes resurface and are reinforced in other chapters. But in any case, just very helpful to get that glimpse into what our pastors are feeling, what they're going through as they seek to serve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, again, that's one of the things. So when I deal with pain, you know, one of the things I talk about is when I'm doing somebody's mother's funeral, I can't help but think about my mom.
Right.
And losing her, you know, and people think I'm going, you know, this is business as usual for you. Get up there and preach and put my mom in heaven and make all of us feel better. But yet I'm walking in and I'm avoiding looking even at your mom in the casket because I don't want to get emotionally tied to the moment.
That's right.
Wow.
And so now I'm delaying my own grief. You know, if I knew her, if I didn't know her, I'm suppressing my own emotion so that I can serve you. And I can't tell you how many funerals I've done over the 20 years and I got to, you know, manifest an out-of-body kind of experience
right.
of I can't really be in a moment. So I can't mourn for my own cousin. I can't mourn for my aunt. I can't mourn for a nephew because I have to serve the family. And then when I'm doing your mother, I can't think about my father's deceased. I can't think about my father. I can't really be in a moment
right.
because I'm sitting here trying to be this encourager for you. I'm trying to be this shepherd for you. So I'm hoarding all of this pain and I'm putting it in a box to deal with later. And then, you know, I can get up and go get in the car and I turn on the radio and a song is on and then I begin to just weep. And I'm wondering, why am I weeping? Why am I weeping? It's because I haven't dealt with this pain.
That's right.
That I have felt because I was trying to be there for you. And so I really felt, you know, people need to know. Like, this is not natural,
no.
You know, what we're trying to do and trying to walk in our own strength and trying to suppress all of this pain that we're feeling in order to serve. I had to literally go to therapy to realize what I was doing to myself and that it wasn't healthy. And I'm like, I need to share this. This is not something I want to hide and wait till after I retire and I go to tell a story and somebody, oh, I wish I would have known that. No, you know what? We need to deal with
this.
We deal with grief every day, just like everybody else. And we deal with pain like everybody else. And it needs to be known. The story needs to be told.
Dr. Larry Anderson, Jr., pastor, Great Commission Church in West Oak Lane, author of The Pastor's Diaries, with us on The Tim DeMoss Show, along with Dr. Tony Hurst, who contributed a couple chapters to the book and also hosts the program Gospel of Grace on WFIL a couple times over the weekend. Back with more in just a moment on WFIL.
You're listening to a podcast of The Tim DeMoss Show, heard weekday afternoons 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com.
AM 560 WFIL, it's Tim DeMoss, continuing our conversation with Dr. Larry L. Anderson, Jr., pastor of Great Commission Church in West Oak Lane, also author of the book The Pastor's Diaries, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit. Each of the chapters begins the letter P, pressure, pain, power, pride, pedestal, perseverance, and passion beyond the pulpit. Dr. Anderson writes the introduction and first chapter of each of those sections. Other pastors write an individual chapter throughout the book, giving their honest, heartfelt perspective on those different topics. Dr. Tony Hurst, with us today as well, wrote a couple of those chapters. Continuing for a moment in the section on pain, Pastor Shannon Mason, the not where but what entry, I think it was in the context of people who actually just leave the church and the mm-hmm. blow that can take to your ego, or there are empty seats that weren't empty before. And it said, I'm learning to grieve what's gone and strengthen what remains. My natural tendency is to strengthen what's gone and grieve what remains,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really insightful.
Yes.
I can get deeply entangled into magnifying the importance of what I've lost so much that I resent what I have left. How yeah. twisted is that?
Yeah.
And then said, intentional gratitude, writing down or saying out loud 25 things I'm grateful for daily work. This has helped me maintain perspective. So losing someone doesn't look like losing everyone, and losing something does not look like losing everything. To your point about grieving, if you lose some families or whatever because of something that happened, whether you could have done differently or not, there's real grief there.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So acknowledge it, grieve it, but that should become more real to you now. And the things that are there, you almost, like he's like,
yeah,
said,
but I mean, you with people from birth. You with them through marriage. You with them when their parents get sick and pass. You're with people through every aspect of life. And then something happens and you don't even know what happened and they're gone. There is no pastor alive worth his weight that don't notice the empty seats. You can have 75% of them full, but what you're focusing on is the 25% that's empty.
Yeah.
That's just the way you are. You're just looking at those and you know somebody used to be sitting there that's not there. You have people who left that you've embraced as family who's no longer there, and you can't help but grieve them being there. And I used
to say,
we can't beat up on the people that come on Sunday because of the people that didn't come on Sunday.
Sure.
You know, we got to learn how to navigate that. But it's tough because you really care. And it's people who leave who never even say why they left that you done poured 20 years of your life into, and you never even know why they left. You just know they're gone. And I don't think the people who leave ever really know how it makes a true shepherd feel. When you look at that 99, you want to leave them for that one.
Because
that's how your heart goes.
That's right.
Yeah, there are a couple of themes that you're touching on there. For those folks tuning in, we're talking with Dr. Larry Anderson, author of The Pastor's Diaries, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit. And Dr. Tony Hurst, who you'll know from the Gospel of Grace radio program, which is on WFIL Sunday nights at 6 and Saturday nights at 8. One of them has to do with, in the power chapter, there's one phrase that stood out, which is stewardship versus ownership.
Mm.
And I just wanted to segue to that part of this part of the book. The idea of stewardship versus ownership, to me, was such a humbling phrase. I think Victor Kirk put that in the Real Power entry.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that down. See, if you remember, just like this station is not mine.
Right.
I'm the program director,
mm-hmm.
and I have a show, but it's not my show. It's really not. And at some point, I won't be here, and it'll be somebody else's. And Lord willing, I'll be glad for whoever comes in takes it next,
mm-hmm.
or this spot, or whatever.
Yes, right.
I'm just trying to hopefully steward this hour and the station. Have you found it to be helpful for you with all these things, keeping your feet grounded?
Oh, these entries, again, ministered to me as they came in.
Yeah.
It helped me gain perspective on some things, you know. And again, that's why when I first presented the book as an idea, IVP InterVarsity came. This is the first time I ever had a response within 24 hours. They like, we want to do it. But they only wanted me to do it.
Okay.
And I was like, no, that's not what I want. I don't want it to be Larry Anderson's story. Like, there's too many pastors that's going through that people need to hear from a plethora of individuals on a plethora of things in order for them to really understand. If it's just one person's voice and one person's story, you can discount it as that's his thing. But this was important for me to have other voices. And when he talked about that ownership versus stewardship, that's convicting. Because at some point, you got to realize these are not your people. You know, you got to have that Moses moment, like, these people you gave me, you know, Adam, this woman you gave me. Like, at some point, you got to realize that they're really not yours. And I think it is liberating to realize that they're not yours, because then you can let go and let God.
That's
right?
It.
But when they're yours, you know, when they're your kids, you know, you want to discipline them, you want to force them, you want to do everything you can to get them obey.
Yeah.
But when you realize that they're the Lord's, you realize, like, you know what? I got to answer to him. I got to oversee them. But they're not mine. They're here to serve him. And then it makes you say, you know, y'all can do it for me, but if I can get you to fall in love with Jesus and you can do it for him, it'll all work out. And so it changes the perspective. It humbles you some. and recognize who actually has the power, because you don't.
Dr. Larry L. Anderson, Jr., our guest today on the Tim DeMoss Show, pastor of Great Commission Church in West Oak Lane. He's written this book, The Pastor's Diaries, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit. He's written the intro and first chapter of each of the sections, and also had a number of other pastors contribute a chapter or two. One of those pastors, a guest with us today, too, Dr. Tony Hurst, who hosts the Gospel of Grace radio program on WFIL Saturday nights at 8 and Sunday evenings at 6. One of the reasons this book resonated with me is I've been going to the same church since I was 5 years old, for 50 years now, and I have seen a lot. You know, most of it's been great. There have been some rough spots. I've seen people come and go for lots of different reasons, and without getting into that, I've kind of always wanted to be there, if I could be, as part of the solution if there was a rough patch, or just to show up and support what's going on. This book kind of resonated with me because it just gave me that much more of a deeper insight of what pastors go through to try to keep things moving forward. Dr. Hurst.
You just mentioned how long you've been in your church since you were five. I've been at my church since I was a year and a half old.
Wow.
And I'm 70.
Wow.
The only time I was away was to be with Dr. Anderson, working as his administrative pastor, which drove me crazy because, not because it was a bad thing to do, but I am not a gifted administrator. I can do administrative work, but an administrative gift, that is not my gift. I am a pastor teacher. Give me one person or 1,000 persons, and I'm like the rabbit in the briar patch. I'm comfortable at home. That's where I belong. But I have noticed over the years how one young man called me one day. I was at work. I worked for the federal government for almost 40 years. And I'll never forget. He called and he said, "Elder Hurst, I just called today to see how you're doing. I sat at my desk and cried." Mm. Because very few people call to see how I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it made me remember, in a book I read that Dr. Barnhouse wrote, he said he stopped at the door before he walked out onto the pulpit, onto the rostrum, and he just leaned against the wall. He said, "Lord, I see about the sheep, but who comes to see about the shepherd?" And that resonated with me because I have seen how things go in churches. Many of the people will take the pastor for granted with all of the labor that he does. I've gotten up in the middle of the night, gone to the hospital. Whatever the people have needed, I've tried to be there for them. But many times it's like, this is what you're supposed to do. Mm. And they don't have many thoughts about how things are going with you. And so it's a tough spot to be in, but you do it because you're serving God, not necessarily them. It's all about what God has called and gifted you to do. And I'm looking to Him for that great affirmation and not the people so much. But I mean, the people do help. Because you do feel encouraged when they do see what you're doing. You're not trying to make them see what you're doing, but do feel that encouragement when they notice.
Absolutely. And I would say this, man, there's the humanity of the pastor that often gets lost. This idea, what I say is that's a human up there. It's a human with feelings. It's a human that goes through the same thing that you go through. They can have an argument at home before they come out like you can. In the car, just like you can. The kids act up just like your kids act up. You know, the husband and wife are imperfect. They don't have a perfect marriage like you don't. That idea that it's a human that's leading you. Mm-hmm. And that's where that pedestal thing comes in at. You know, when they go up in front, I can't believe they said that they're human. You know, like everybody can make a mistake but the pastor. Everybody gets a level of grace and forgiveness but the pastor. You can mispronounce a word, and that's all they remember from the sermon.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
What did he call that? Laodicea? Yeah. What, you know, like, it doesn't matter. You know, you say 2 Corinthians verses first. You know, that's up. Oh, there it is. I knew he didn't read it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just amazing. The fishbowl that you're placed in.
That's right.
That your wife is placed in, that your mm-hmm. children are placed in. And that fishbowl is the pedestal that does not allow for the grace. And so it's like, hey, that's a human that has sacrificed every other career in the world to be here to serve you. And it's not, you know, for the accolades, but it is for the grace of the Lord. And it's like, yeah, see that? Just recognize that part and have some grace for the man of God who's standing before you.
Dr. Larry L. Anderson, Jr., our guest today on the Tim DeMoss Show, pastor of Great Commission Church in West Oak Lane, also author of this book, The Pastor's Diaries, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit. A number of pastors contributed to this, including Dr. Tony Hurst, Sr., who joins us today as well. We're coming down the home stretch of the program. I want to ask Dr. Hurst about a chapter you wrote later in the book.
Yes.
And then I also would like to ask Dr. Anderson, because you have plenty of paper in front of you, and I'm sure when you leave the station, like, I didn't even mention that thing. I wanted to talk about that. This is your chance to think of, what are a couple of things I didn't get to say yet that I want to say?
Okay.
All right, fair?
I got you.
Good. So in the book, there are a lot of, again, if you're tuning in, The Pastor's Diaries is the book, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit. Dr. Larry Anderson, Jr., and also Dr. Tony Hurst has contributed to this. Dr. Anderson wrote an introduction to every chapter and the first entry in each chapter, followed by several others. The first one was pressure, then pain. There's also
power,
pride, pedestal, perseverance, passion beyond the pulpit. And then they have a lot of folks who contributed, and you list them in the beginning and all that. But there are a few chapters you mentioned that also have some names that have been changed a bit to protect particular situations, right? That's how that was structured.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so one of those chapters at the time of the writing was something that you actually wrote yourself, Dr.
Hurst. I did.
Right, and that's chapter, there it is, My Journey into the Far Country and Back, page 152. Alexander Hughes is the name.
That is right.
And I'll just toss it to you to take it from there.
At the time of that writing, I really didn't realize that I was using my own initials, A.H. My name, of course, is Anthony Hurst, and I chose the pseudonym of Alexander Hughes. But I wanted to write about an incident that took place in my life that for many years I was ashamed to talk about. And that was the fact that around the age of 8 going on 9, I was raped across the street from my elementary schoolyard. I remembered very little about it, but because of that incident, and naturally because of the sin nature that all of us have, that kept me captivated until I was about 24 years old. I took it all the way into Penn State University, where I studied from 1971 to 1977. I was faithful at my church, but it was something that I could not talk about. I could not share it with anybody at any time for anything. I was so deeply ashamed, but I was trapped where I was. But I look back and see how faithful God is, and I'm speaking today to help someone who is where I was. Mm. God brought about such a great deliverance in my life, I still cannot get over it. So often when I kneel down in prayer, the only thing I can say is, why did you love me so much? I look at the night that I was heading back home after a little foray, if that's what you would call it. And that night I was particularly troubled. And I remember just screaming to the top of my lungs in my car for peace. God met me there on that dark road that night. I was in Delaware, I do recall that, and I headed back home. I was still living with my parents. I'd graduated from Penn State, and God met me that night. I never will forget it all the days of my life, and he changed me. He met me at the point of my need. He didn't berate me. He didn't put me down. He embraced me by his grace. And he began to change me. I remember I had a phone in my room, and I had it there in my parents' house so that I could talk to whoever I wanted to when I wanted to talk to and about whatever I wanted to talk. But when God changed me, I called Bell Telephone, and to tell you how long ago that was.
Wow.
And told them to come get that phone out of my room. I began to make a complete cut with everything that involved that former life. And God had me to meet the most beautiful woman in the world on May 14th, 1978. And my jaw almost hit the floor. And to this day, I am so grateful for the gift of grace that God gave to me.
Amen. You're just tuning in. Dr. Tony Hurst, Sr., our guest today on the Tim DeMoss Show. You can catch him on the Gospel of Grace radio program Saturday nights at 8 and Sunday evenings at 6. Contributed a couple of chapters to the book, The Pastor's Diaries, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit. That book written largely by and put together by the pastor of Great Commission Church in West Oak Lane, Dr. Larry Anderson, Jr. I want to say Mr. Anderson.
From the, get to the Matrix.
From the Matrix.
Uh-huh.
We talked about a lot of different things, but anything that maybe we haven't touched on yet that's important to you?
Well, I think just for the pastors, they need to acknowledge that it's okay to say I'm not okay, to recognize that care fatigue is real. When you're caring for people in every aspect of life, it takes a lot out of you and it empties you, and you need to know that. You need to know how to refill and refuel yourself. You need to know, and we need to know, that spiritual depression is real. Sometimes we spiritualize away what we're going through as if the Bible doesn't talk about it. But if you look in Psalm 42, you'll see that. Why is my soul so downcast? Why so disturbed in me? Put your hope in God. And so there's this idea that if I'm depressed or discouraged, I'm not spiritual enough, or I'm immature in my faith. But the reality is, when you can acknowledge that you are dealing with an emotional crisis, that's maturity. And recognizing, yes, that I need help and I need to talk to somebody, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We all supposed to continually make disciples, but be disciple. And I think sometimes when we rise to a certain level of leadership, we stop being disciple. Like, we don't need anybody to pour into us anymore, when that's exactly the opposite of truth. The higher you get, the more accountability you need. The more you need somebody pouring into you and caring for
you. That's exactly right.
And venues to release some of that pain, that anxiety, that pent-up anger and depression. Like, you got to have a place to vent, and a group to vent too. And so I would just say, as we wrap it up, is that, you know, rest is important. I use rest as an acronym, R being retreating, knowing how to disconnect from things and how to get away and how to just pull back, knowing how to have a vacation without your computer. Knowing how to look at the Bible and read it for yourself and not for who I'm about to give this
to.
That's
right. Yeah.
The E is for encouragement. What gives you joy? You have to find a way to find something that's going to build you up.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's one thing to build everybody else up, but what builds you up? Not your ego, but what builds you up as a human being, as an individual, as a child of God. And then S is sharing. We all need, again, that place to be able to share, to be transparent, to be able to really tell how we feel. And then for me is T. You just got to stay under that teaching to understand how you feel, the way you feel, how to define that, how somebody else can help you, or you're going to repeat the same thing. At some point in our leadership, we tend to become unteachable. you tend to not be able to hear a sermon anymore without critiquing that person's sermon versus hearing that person's message. And it's amazing how many people I know who speak every week but never listen to anybody else's sermon.
What was that? Preach.
They speak every week.
I was kidding.
Oh, you know what? I'm like, you didn't hear me. But no, it's so serious because now – more than ever, post-COVID, we can listen to so many different messages daily. We can be fed. And so if we stop judging and critiquing and competing with the same body that's meant to build us up, we can get fed too. There was a time when it was like, okay, I only could hear a sermon if I'm not preaching. Well, that time is gone. You can hear sermons every day, all day.
Yeah.
Right? On WFIL, Bible. You know, you can hear sermons all day to be edified. And so don't get to a point where you can't be edified, where
That's
you can't
right.
be taught, because you need to be poured into just as much as you're pouring
right.
into somebody. Or your cup is empty, and what are you filling up, right?
Yeah.
We supposed to minister out of the overflow, not the emptiness.
That's right.
That's good.
Not out of preach.
Dr. Larry Anderson and Dr. Tony Hurst, The Pastor's Diaries, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having us. This was
glad
good.
To be here.
This
was really good. This was God's timing.
Amen. Amen. By the way, on a practical note, if you want to get a copy or copies of The Pastor's Diaries, An Intimate Look Behind the Pulpit, you can find it wherever you normally get your books, or you could take a special route and support the radio ministry of Gospel of Grace with Dr. Tony Hurst, one of our two guests today, who contributed a couple of chapters to the book, along with Dr. Anderson, who put the whole book together and wrote a lot of the chapters. If you send the donation in of any amount, you'll get a copy of the book autographed by both Dr. Anderson and Dr. Hurst. The address for that, you ready? Got a pen, pencil, lipstick, whatever you can write with? Gospel of Grace, P.O. Box 514, Bear, Delaware. Bear is like the animal, B-E-A-R. Bear, Delaware, 19701. Again, it's Gospel of Grace, P.O. Box 514, Bear, Delaware, 19701. We'll put that in the podcast description as well in case you couldn't jot it all down. And again, for any amount, any gift you do to Gospel of Grace, you'll get a copy of The Pastor's Diaries autographed by both Dr. Anderson and Dr. Hurst. That'll do it for now. You've been listening to The Tim DeMoss Show, AM 560, WFIL.com, and on the WFIL app.
Thanks for listening to The Tim DeMoss Show podcast. Feel free to tune in to the full show each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560, WFIL, and at WFIL.com.